Hey, it's Cole Swindell, and when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I am joined by Colin Drew for our Super Bowl showdown preview. We are, going to be breaking down into the nitty gritty. I think that you already did a premium FanDuel look at their single game stuff, right, Colin?
Yep. Oh, that was free. Got that posted up on DR and on Sports Grid. And then tomorrow, going to be dropping the premium article and podcast with Brian Jester from Occupy Fantasy that we had for each of the showdown slates this year. So that'll be a good one as well, but excited to talk about the slate generally. Still some questions up in the air, but I've got a lot on the line, Davis. I got a 1 in 40 shot at $1 million. Second place gets $0. So I want to talk through, get your ideas.
Second place gets $0. Yeah, it's the winner take all for a milli. Definitely going to be obviously wanting to take some shots. I have registered for MME and then the $200 single entry. So I will be thinking through some single entry stuff and MME stuff as well. And I'll probably play on FanDuel too, because, you know, it's a Super Bowl and yeah. you got to get that action out there. So we are dealing with a couple injury situations for the Super Bowl. I guess the first is not only is Sammy Watkins and Antonio Brown questionable, which is going to have a pretty big impact on the projections, but DeMarcus Robinson as well, just the all-time snap eater, DeMarcus Robinson, the empty calories guy, he is questionable because of the COVID list. And if he tests positive, he can't play. So if at any point over the next couple of days, DeMarcus Robinson registers a positive test, he cannot play. So that's a pretty big deal, because regardless of how few targets he gets, this is a dude who plays 60 to 70% of the snaps for the Chiefs. If he doesn't play, it's going to be all Sammy, McColl, Tyreek, and then Byron Pringle chipping in with some of those tertiary snaps. But I think that basically moves Hardman to like 80% of the snaps minimum if DeMarcus can't play, because I know they love to mess around with Pringle in the regular season, but I don't think Byron Pringle is going to be a huge part of their offense in the Super Bowl, would be my guess.
Yeah, and like you said, Robinson was just on the close contact list, so he's right now it seems like he's pacing to play, but obviously the positive test would change that. And it just matters a lot, because value players matter a lot on showdown anyways, but they especially matter when the game has a total up near 56, when the game has Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Tom Brady. So there's so many expensive players that you want to jam in. There's some kind of questionable depth charts in the backfield for both teams that kind of suck some of the value of the slate. So that's another reason that DeMarcus Robinson just ends up sadly being like a pretty key part of the slate.
Yeah. And you know, I think though the biggest injury news is not only Watkins' availability, because I think it Watkins is going to play. I'd be very surprised at this point. He actually practiced 2 weeks ago before the conference championships, and they just decided not to activate him. So I'd be pretty surprised if he doesn't play. But like the effectiveness of Sammy Watkins, because if Watkins is out there playing, you know, 80% of the snaps or whatever, I would imagine that he is like the best jam of the slate, right? In MME relative to what the field is going to be doing with him, because one, he just hasn't been good this year in general. And I think some of that is noise. Some of that is he just is not as good, but a fully healthy Sammy Watkins, who's been resting now for, you know, 6 weeks, the guy hasn't been tackled. That is very interesting to me as it relates to showdown.
Yeah. And then the Antonio Brown news, you know, we're expecting him to play, but if he was to sit, Scotty Miller got 43% of snaps. Tyler Johnson got 29% of snaps last week. Miller caught the big touchdown. So yeah, you'd probably see the role split like that again, maybe skewed even a little bit more towards Miller. But yeah, all that kind of stuff is stuff that we'll be juggling up until lock. And late news, especially in a big public contest like this, late news is definitely a friend of the savvy fantasy player. You know, if you're listening to this podcast, you're paying attention to late news and you should react to it, because a lot of the field is just going to build their lineups and start boozing.
Yeah, for sure. All right. So what do you think about the captain distributions for Mahomes and Brady? Like in the $1 million contest, what should we expect for captain ownership for Mahomes and Brady? Do you think Mahomes it's just going to be egregious, like 15 to 20% captain for Mahomes?
You're talking about in the big MME, $1 million to first?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that you're going to get a pretty big number on Patrick Mahomes in that contest. I think the pricing was jacked up for Mahomes a good bit, or at least a few hundred bucks compared to previous slates with him. And so that'll keep it, you know, from getting to like the Lamar levels of like 30 to 35%, but I would expect to see it 25%. Anyone who's building a single lineup, it's just a lot easier to click Mahomes on Mahomes than like choose between, you know, Kelce and Tyreek.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you for sure. And then, you know, I do think the Brady public factor also drives up his ownership. Cause like my dad will probably do one entry in the $1 million to first. He's captaining Brady for sure. He's a casual football fan. Like my dad's putting Brady in there. He's going to see that. Yeah, no, I know for sure. I could text my dad right now and be like, hey, what are you going to play on DraftKings for the Super Bowl? And he'll be like, I'm playing Brady. Yeah.
Yeah. Send him that text. Hopefully we'll get it before we finish recording, but yeah, I think Brady will be like 10%. It's kind of where he's hovered in some of these MMEs. And you know, if you want to look at previous slates, I do think it makes sense because the slate set up relatively similar to some of the games that these teams have faced versus each other recently. So I think, you know, for the Chiefs, it'll be Mahomes kind of in that 25% range in the MME lottery. I think Kelce will be lower than that, you know, maybe in the 10 to 15 range. And then I think Tyreek will be a little bit lower than Kelce, you know, maybe in the 7 to 10% range.
Yeah. So then who do you think are the exploitable captain ownerships? I mean, I think probably Sammy and Clyde look like the guys where you could get pretty sick leverage and they have, you know, 20 plus fantasy points pretty easily in their range of outcomes.
Yeah. On the Chiefs side, I think that could be the case. And, you know, we don't know exactly what's going to happen with Clyde. We did see that he started the game for them as the lead back. He wasn't super effective. And then he took a shot. He didn't play much in the fourth quarter of that game, but he's been, you know, 2 weeks to recover. So he should be healthier going into this game than he was into the last game, where he still played like roughly half of the snaps. He's typically been a 50 to 60% of the carries guy for them out of the backfield. So I think in these lotteries where people are just looking at game logs and stuff like that, I definitely think there's at least some merit to hoping he pulls a Damian Williams for us. And I don't think people will be on that. So I like that. I like the Watkins as well, especially in the lotteries. And then I do think if you're going to captain Mahomes, like I'm going to want to include one of DeMarcus Robinson, Watkins, Hardman in all those stacks so that I'm getting kind of deep into the player pool, opposed to just jamming like the normal, you know, Mahomes teams.
Yeah, I wish we had Blake Bell this year at $200 to lock us up. What did he get? 1.8 points in the Super Bowl last year. I wish he was there. Nick Kaiser, not quite as dynamic as our guy Blake Bell.
There could be 50% owned guys putting up 1.8 points. It's going to be pretty wild out there. Because I think if you want to fit in like Mahomes, Tyreek, and Kelce, which obviously people want to fit in those guys, you're basically have to play Ronald Jones or DeMarcus Robinson. And I think regardless of what his role is, we're heading for like massive Ronald Jones ownership. He's been good enough over the course of the season that it's just so obvious that he's a salary saving play. He's the only way that you can fit in like a good Bucks player in addition to all three stud Chiefs.
Yeah. All right. So what about flex ownership for Mahomes? For me, It just seems almost impossible for this game to get anywhere close to the total and Mahomes not being in the optimal lineup. Like seriously, like I think he is on that Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen tier of like just his showdown ownerships, even though they get extreme. I still don't know if it's actually an efficient market. Like I think maybe his actual P-own in total should be something like 90%.
So yeah, I mean I agree when you factor in the flex, like he's probably like at least 85% to get onto the winning lineup. And yeah, I think the issue is obviously the pricing. And I think there's been like four times this year where Mahomes was the third highest scorer out of the trio of KC players. And so if that happens, it's really hard to fit all three players in. And these punt plays can definitely bust. Ronald Jones can definitely put up four fantasy points. DeMarcus Robinson could put up four fantasy points. And if that happens, you probably see something where like Tyreek Hill or Kelce is the winning captain. Mahomes ends up not on that lineup because the other expensive flex plays matter. So
I think where I think that opens up is if Antonio Brown doesn't play, because then you have Tyler Johnson at 1,200, Scotty Miller at 3,400. Wouldn't surprise me, obviously, to see the kickers in the optimal here because of they priced this showdown slate a little bit more aggressively than the average slate, like Darrell Williams priced at 5,200, McColl at 5,600. Like, I think if I remember, McColl was actually cheap in last year's Super Bowl showdown. Yeah. Like, I think he was like 1,200 in the showdown last year.
He's mega owned.
Yeah, well, I fed into that, obviously. I don't remember, it's been so long, but I know he didn't do anything.
The past 2 weeks, the McColl and DeMarcus Robinson have been flip-flopping based on their price tag. So McColl was cheap in the divisional round, and he was really popular then. And then in the conference championship, McColl had a high price like he does now. And he actually wasn't that popular. DeMarcus Robinson was the guy that people went to for the salary relief. So I know you're a McColl fanboy, and I actually think that he won't be very popular.
No, he's not going to. He's expensive now. Like they did me a favor by pricing him up at 5,600. Like, where, because when he's priced like that, he becomes a bad enough play that the ownership just gets slashed. Like people will for sure play Pringle and Robinson to some degree over McColl Hardman. And I mean, my guy Sammy Watkins, he is priced at 4,200. Like, he will be 3x the ownership of Hardman, assuming he's good to go.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. You, especially if it's a clear injury report, like if you get the news like Sammy Watkins is good to go.
Yeah, on Friday he's off the injury report.
If
or
you
whatever.
Get it, like Watkins is going to need to test his leg during warmups or whatever.
Yeah,
that's where people start to get skittish. So,
I mean, either way, I think. What about this rule? Every lineup has to have at least one of Hardman, Watkins, Pringle, Robinson. I think that seems like a really good rule.
I think I'm fine with that for Mahomes captain teams, but I'm not going to do it otherwise. Because then
only what, so
then
only
you're
with
like
Mahomes
not building
captain.
Any. Then you're not building any like Tampa on slots. Which,
well, I'm not building any. Well,
of course.
Well, no. So actually,
I mean,
this is
you're a Chiefs fan. Like, if you can't load up on your team for the Super Bowl and have like a clean rooting interest, like, yeah, I have no issues with you jamming.
I actually think a Bucks onslaught and a Chiefs win, like Chiefs win the Super Bowl 35-24, but Brady completes 42 passes. You know, Gronk has 6 receptions. Brate has 4. Tyler Johnson has 3 for a touchdown. Scotty, you know, gets a deep one. Godwin racks like. Where they're just down immediately, right? Like the Chiefs score on the opening possession, the Bucks turn the ball over, and it you know, the Browns Steelers game. I can actually see that playing out. No, I mean, obviously not to that same insane degree. I think that was one of the most anomalous games ever. But just the Buccaneers have to abandon the run entirely, and like the Bucks are just, you know, racking up PPR points and hitting the bonuses.
Yeah, and. You know, speaking of the Bucs, we haven't talked too much about them. I think Mike Evans is one of the best plays in the entire slate. I don't have the balls to captain him in the winner take all million to first, like the high buy-in. But I think looking at the past few weeks, he's had, you know, tough matchups that I think people were scared of rostering him a little bit. But he's like a third as popular as Chris Godwin. And especially on FanDuel, where touchdowns matter a lot more than the catches and PPR volume, I think Mike Evans is going to be pretty low owned both at MVP and at flex relative to the upside that he has on the slate. The multi-touchdown potential, you know, arguably as high as anybody other than, you know, Kelce Hill.
So in that event, why would you not consider him in the million to first?
I'm trying to figure out like how differentiated I want to be versus like what I consider like optimal from a projections perspective. And obviously goal number one is avoid dupes. Goal number two is build a good team. And I think I can accomplish both of those with leverage on the field without having to captain him, but it is still like it's on my mind.
So who do you think is the, so you think that Evans clearly better than AB and Godwin in terms of captain MVP distribution?
I think so, considering what the field's going to do and the Evans, you know, I guess he, what he went with like 8 for 50 something in a touchdown against Green Bay. But I think generally the field is still not playing him. They haven't played him in the past 2 weeks. And I still think they'll click Godwin before Evans again this week.
Yeah. So I wish there was ever an opportunity to buy the frickin' dip on Chris Godwin, but
there's
no dip. It doesn't matter what he does. Guy can get hurt. Guy can have like 4 straight bad games and the field's like, I like Chris Godwin. Yeah. So yeah, there's never any opportunity. If you were going to buy a Buccaneers pass catcher dip, it would be Gronk and just hope that he scores 2 touchdowns.
Yeah. And like the concerns with Gronk, obviously hasn't been running as many routes. They haven't had to throw as much in the red zone. I guess they've had some deep touchdowns, and so we don't see those red zone targets, but I do still think like when push comes to shove in the red zone that Evans and Gronk are definitely number one, number two.
Yeah. I think Gronk seems like a guy boosting in the projections.
Like when Andrew puts out the ownerships, I'm going to be curious where Gronk falls and like whether or not people are talking about Gronk leading into the Super Bowl, because he's a public guy, right? Like everyone loves Gronk. So I'm curious.
No, the people want Cam Brate. The people are chasing Cam Brate, man. That's where it's all at now.
Yeah. So yeah, Gronk like could definitely put up 3 fantasy points for sure. But I wouldn't. Yeah.
Yeah. My dad, by the way, no Brady and captain. I was wrong.
He went Mahomes.
No. This is the other way that people think they
Your
play someone.
Galbrain.
No, my dad does Galbrain. He plays the cheap guys in flex. You know, he'll play CH or Daryl or Watkins or whoever so that he can get the 3 Chiefs big guns. Yeah. You know, I learned the Galbrain from a good man.
Yeah. So what do you think about the Bucs backfield? Ronald Jones still kind of splitting carries, but Fournette obviously getting all the passing work. Ronald Jones is one of, if you run any optimizer, he's popping in a bunch of optimals. I think in some fields, he's going to be 40 to 50% owned.
I mean, so it's kind of one of those things where I'm trying not to bet against myself because I have action against Ronald Jones in props that I've bet already. Like I bet on, you know, Clyde Edwards-Helaire more rushing yards, bet under on Ronald Jones receptions. But it's like, you know, that is not optimal decision-making, right? In terms of like, well, I'm just going to ignore the only good cheap player. Like there's a world where Ronald Jones is just plays better than Leonard Fournette in this game. Fournette has a fumble, Fournette gets dinged up, or Fournette, you know, just plays bad, as we have seen him play bad many, many times in his NFL career, and they go with Ronald Jones instead.
Yeah.
Now at like
there's also 50%, a world where he scores 4 points and that's good enough because all the studs hit, but then you're talking about like a 5,000 person chop or whatever.
Right. Yeah. And we don't play for the chop. We play for first. Yeah. What about the Clyde Edwards-Helaire in captain? 7,000. You know, he's priced less than Fournette, $800 more than Antonio Brown. Rewind to the Super Bowl last year. You know, Damian mass 150 yards, 2 touchdowns for Damian. I don't think Clyde Edwards-Helaire is as good as Damian.
Such a tough matchup too, right? So
yeah.
It's I can't do it on DK. I've been wondering on FanDuel with like the touchdown nature, but it's also, yeah. And generally I think if you look at the data across all games, generally running backs, wide receivers offer leverage compared to everybody who just jams quarterback at MVP. So I've been debating whether or not to do it on FanDuel, but I can't do it on DK.
See, and I think a lot of people are going to
get a 100-yard bonus, and I think like
no, but he can score twice. That's it's just all he's got to score twice.
Well, he's got to do more than that though, probably. Like
60 rushing yards, 4 receptions for 40 yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, if he gets 4 for 40 also, but like splitting the passing work is in play too. So
there's just no clarity, right? Like because Daryl was getting replaced by Le'Veon Bell midseason. And then they figure, because that's, we haven't even mentioned Le'Veon Bell's name. He's healthy. He's going to be active for this game. Now that, that
he's,
I mean,
not play though.
Yeah, I would probably bet on the under on like two touches for him. But what does he even cost? I literally don't. He costs 800. I mean, is Le'Veon Bell 1 yard rush? Le'Veon Bell 1 yard rushing touchdown at 800. Does he land in the $1 million lineup?
If you gave, if you were to bank 7 points, I think you'd play a lot of him because he's not going to be popular, and he is.
Well, that's the only way he gets there. He the, his literal only path to getting there is a short touchdown.
Yeah. So
I don't know.
I mean, I guess in like 150 set, I guess I would, I might end up with like a percent or something like that, but not going to be like a building block guy.
Yeah. All right. What else do we need to, what are else do we need to discuss?
Correlations. I know, like, well, I'll go through a bunch of stuff with Brian on the pod. I'll probably talk a bit about my specific strategy for this winner take all thing, but for the lotteries, I think, you know, you're going to need the perfect lineup. And as that becomes the case, correlations, they matter still for sure, but you can see weirder lineups get there. Are you going to set hard rules for captain correlations with flex players?
I know that you know, a lot of like the DR subs and stuff have started doing boosts instead of rules, but I will definitely have some hard rules. So like one of the rules will be Mahomes in captain. I'll probably do three Chiefs with him, like only Chiefs onslaughts with him, including some of the cheaper guys. I also think that a max one Lenny and Ron rule does make a lot of sense, because yes, they could both score touchdowns or whatever, but like, that's not how I'm not building my lineups with the idea that like the Buccaneers are able to run the ball 38 times or whatever, you know, and control the flow of the game. And so I don't want, you know, a Leonard Fournette 8 target game getting wrecked by Ronald Jones's 4 carries for 3 yards line, you know? And so I think that's a correlation where you build yourself into a coffin pretty clearly. If Rojo scores and Fournette maintains that passing down work, you probably can't win. But I think that one makes some sense. What about Chiefs running backs though? What about Max One, Daryl and Clyde? Cause they're really competing for a limited number of touches, cause the Chiefs are just going to throw the ball like 50 times.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I'm probably not going to max one it. One of the things I wanted to say was in these, you know, slates where the it's a high total, games are competitive, that slates where people tend to build more balance. So I actually think there's some leverage to be had. Definitely think any Mahomes team should be like a 4-man onslaught for Kansas City. But I've thought about doing that with any Chiefs captain and having kind of all my teams end up being like at least 4-2 and some 5-1 teams for rule creation purposes.
Yeah.
And then the guys like Kelsey and Hill, I think it's extremely likely that Mahomes lands in the lineup if they're the optimal captain, but I think there is some chance that he gets kind of squeezed out on price. He's $1,200 more expensive than Brady. If Brady were to put up, like, if, you know, Kelsey was to have a similar game to what he had last week with the PPR God, and then Brady was to put up like 2 fantasy points short of Mahomes, I think Mahomes could get squeezed out. So I've thought about doing a rule for at least one of Brady or Mahomes with the Kelsey Hill captain teams.
I think that makes some sense. I mean, where it gets interesting is Tyreek has an explode, like very similar to the conference championship, right? Kelsey racks up the PPR points. Tyreek has an explosion game. And then, you know, Brady gets 303. Mike Evans has a big game. Like, then you're talking about a potential scenario where Tyreek and Kelsey are in the optimal, both, and Mahomes is not. Because I think that's a pretty real scenario where that to me is how Mahomes doesn't get there, is Chiefs early lead via Kelsey, via Tyreek, and then the Bucs just play catch up and they complete a ton of passes.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, let's go. We haven't talked at all about Tyler Johnson and Scotty Miller. If Antonio Brown is not able to play, what are you doing with those two guys?
Yeah, I mean, we'll adjust the projections, obviously. We talked a little bit about the snap counts. Miller definitely was ahead of Tyler Johnson, but they were both involved. And if that news comes out late, the you know, this is going to be the most public showdown of all time. And so I don't think the public will react quickly to adjustments. And so I would probably try to get over the field on both players if that ended up being the situation. I mean, Tampa just spreads the ball around so much. So that's obviously a struggle with them in general this year.
Yeah, I think the guys I am probably going to boost the most in terms of what we have projected is I think Watkins and Gronk look like the ways to leverage a high scoring game and not just be like massively, massively duped. And then also I think a lot of people who do MME are going to limit McColl and Sammy together. And I probably won't do that. But I mean, McColl's just not going to be owned in general. Like McColl is going to be like 2% owned in the captain or something probably.
Yeah, I think it's going to end up Robinson will end up being popular, assuming that he's cleared in time.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I think that is a pretty good discussion of the slate. Of course, you will be doing a premium podcast discussion with former $1 million showdown winner Brian Jester on the site.
We'll have some ownership projections up on DR as well, kind of have some advice on how to put together unique lineups, or at least, you know, if you're going to chop the millie, at least make sure it's a five-figure score, that type of thing.
Yeah, for sure. All right, everyone, definitely make sure to check in on the site on Sunday morning when we get inactives and more reports and everything. I'll still be working on the projections. Andrew will have ownership projections up then. And just use Daily Roto to build your best lineups. And we will, this podcast will continue throughout the course of the offseason, obviously with all kinds of offseason discussion of the prospects and the drafts and everything. And we'll see you back next week.
Hey, it's Cole Swindell. And when I spend 200 days a year rolling down the highway, the bus can start to feel smaller than a guitar case. Everyone wonders how I stay chill while the hours crawl by. Truth is, one good luck spent on Chumba, and suddenly the trip feels a whole lot shorter. Finding your space, even when there isn't much to spare. Need some chill? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus TNCs apply. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.